I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome, everyone, into Susie Larson Live. I'm Than Bennett, sitting in for Susie this week, and it's such an honor. It really is. It's such a privilege for me to be sharing this week with you. I'm so grateful to Susie for asking me to fill in. I'm grateful to the whole team here at Faith Radio for letting me join them and letting me join all of you for these conversations. As all of you know, if you're regular listeners, this is a show where Susie is always leading us in conversations every single day that inspire us in our faith walk, that deepen our understanding of God's word, and that heighten our awareness of his very real presence in our life. And that's what we're aiming for together this week as well. Our conversations this week have been focused in a little bit more narrowly. We're focusing in on eternal things, and we're particularly trying to hone in on three things. Number one, God's word. Number two, the people and the souls around us. And number three, the work that he's given each of us to do. And today we're going to be asking these questions. We're going to ask, how do we experience revival in our midst? We're going to ask, how do we accomplish a spiritual reformation in our day? And how do we achieve a cultural renaissance in our communities? And folks, I want to tell you, you are in for a treat today because my guest today, Pastor Heather Zimpel, is a powerhouse. Let me tell you, she has been, I think I would describe her as one of the most influential voices in my spiritual walk for most of my adult life now. And I'm really excited to get to introduce her to you. I'm thinking it's probably going to be a new voice for some of you, and I'm excited to hear what God is saying to her lately. So I want you to buckle up. I want you to hold on to your hat, and we're going to get to her in just a moment here. But first off, a couple of quick announcements for you. First off, we here at Faith Radio have partnered with Feed My Starving Children for the month of April. And for every Team 40 gift, we call it a Team 40 gift if you give $40 a month or make a one-time $480 gift. For every Team 40 gift, a generous donor is going to sponsor 40 meals for those who have been impacted by the war in Ukraine. So incredibly timely, incredibly practical. And if you'd like to give with us, you can do that at myfaithradio.com, or you can text the word give to 877-933-2484. Myfaithradio.com, or text the word give to 877-933-2484. Okay. Also, for those of you who might be thinking about joining me for the coaching cohort we've talked about the last couple of days, we do still have a few spots left. We're about a month away from starting, and I'd really encourage you to check this out. It's at tailoredcoach.com, and we're going to take a deep dive in some of these conversations we're talking about this week, but here's the goal. The goal is to get you equipped to leverage the communities and the places that you're already in for a kingdom culture. So we're going to meet once a month virtually, no more than 12 people. It'll be intimate, collaborative, interactive. We'll have teaching, question and answer. And then we'll also, every person that participates will get one personalized one-on-one coaching session for a couple of hours sometime during that 6 months. So I think this would be really valuable if that's something that you're looking for. Again, you can find that information at tailoredcoach.com. So check that out. Okay, here we go. I hope you're ready. Let's get to our guest. I'm going to give her a formal introduction because she deserves that. I'm also going to give her a little bit of a personal introduction at the end. That one might embarrass her just a little bit, but I think she deserves that one as well. Heather Zimpel. She's a native Alabamian. She currently leads the discipleship efforts at National Community Church in Washington, D.C. Folks, that's the church that our family has actually had the privilege of being a part of for more than 20 years now. Heather oversees small groups, directs leadership development training, and serves on the weekend teaching team. Heather has a bachelor's and a master's degree in biological engineering from LSU, so we've established she's far smarter than I am. That's good. Always good to surround yourself by people smarter than you. She worked as an environmental engineer and as a policy consultant on energy and environment issues in the United States Senate before coming on staff at National Community Church. Going to have to ask her about that. Heather lives on Capitol Hill with her husband, Ryan, and their daughter, Sawyer. She's the author of several books, including Sacred Roads, Community is Messy, and Amazed and Confused, which we're going to be drawing from during our conversation today. And I'll just add this on a personal level. You guys, Heather loves, she loves and is deeply devoted to God's Word. I think she's devoted to God's Word in a way that I would say a very, very few people that I know. And her voice on behalf of the power and relevancy of God's Word, it's just been extremely significant in my life. And so I'm thrilled that you get to hear just a bit of that from her today. And this is exciting. We're giving away 4 copies of Heather's most recent book, thanks to her generosity. It's called Amazed and Confused. I've got a copy of it right here. If you want to get in on that drawing to win one of those books, you just need to text the word book to 877-933-2484. You'll get a kickback text. It'll ask you to fill out your information, and we've got 4 copies to give away. So again, it's text the word book to 877-933-2484. So with all that said, Heather, my friend, welcome to Suzy Larson Live.
And so thank you so much. It's such a joy to be with you today.
I'm so excited to have you on the broadcast. Been looking forward to this for some time. And I got to tell you, I'm eager to get to a number of topics with you, but we start every single day on this broadcast here at Suzy Larson Live with scripture. This is my favorite part of the show. And I've got to tell you, I'm particularly excited about it with you because, like I told the audience, you just adore God's Word. It's evident in everything that you say and do. And in fact, I'll tell you this, when a new person comes to church and they get a chance to hear from you, and then I talk to them later, I'm telling you, Heather, almost to a person, this is their takeaway. Mm. It's that Heather loves God's Word. So no pressure with that, but you love God's Word. And so I'm eager to hear your response. What's God been saying to you through His Word these days?
Well, Than, that's very kind. I do love the Word of God. I grew up being taught as a young child to memorize the scripture, the stories of God, and I've loved it ever since. And so in my life, I have kind of my daily disciplines of engaging the Word of God follow kind of a rhythm. Sometimes I'm reading scripture, like large passages, large narratives, to get a sense of the scope of the story. Sometimes I'm diving in really deep to study. Sometimes it's memorizing. Sometimes it's meditating. And so right now, I'm kind of in a unique season between studying the book of Esther, which I was doing because we just came out of a sermon series on Esther. Mm-hmm. So I had done a deep dive of Esther. I'm about to do a deep dive of 1 Corinthians. And I found myself with just a few weeks to kind of breathe. And so I just decided to dive into the Psalms. And, you know, the Psalms become so familiar to us. It's one of the places in scripture we go to a lot. And so they can kind of become overly familiar at times. And so I just really, I'm approaching it every day as a, God, what do you have for me in here today? And so I was really struck by Psalm. I was reading Psalm 5 the other day, and verse 3, it says this: "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice," which I'll just pause right there and say, how amazing is that? The Lord hears our voice. Sometimes we get so accustomed to the idea of prayer and talking to God that if we just stop and think, the Almighty Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer of the universe hears our voice. So in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. And so maybe just 2 things that I was processing the other day that might be an encouragement to somebody. First of all, there's something to be learned here, I think, about engaging with the Lord in the morning. Now, look, not all of us are morning people. I am not a morning person. Now, Than, you've got a farm, so you've probably become a morning person if you weren't already. But we're not all morning people, but I think there's something about coming to God in the morning to present our calendar, our agenda, our hopes, our plans, our prayers, and asking God not only to be a part of those, but to give us discernment, to give us a sense of direction, to invite Him in to every conversation, every decision. And what happens when we do that? It moves our calendar from just being a list of meetings to a potential list of divine appointments. And so bringing our whole selves to God in the morning, it just causes me to approach my day differently. The second thing I see in this is that phrase, wait expectantly. That posture of waiting expectantly. I have one friend in particular who often asks me, Heather, what's something coming up that you're most excited about? And that question allows me to enjoy not just that experience itself, but also the anticipation of it, the expectation of it. And I think sometimes we think anticipation and expectations are like outcomes of practicing certain spiritual disciplines. But I feel like expectation and anticipation can be a spiritual discipline in and of itself. It's a posture, it's a practice that we can implement to really prepare our hearts for a greater experience of the presence of God. So how do we practice actively anticipation, expectation? How do we practice hope, a posture of hope? I see that as my experiment for this week, getting up in the morning, presenting my day before the Lord, and then practicing a posture of expectation and anticipation and hope. And I'm just finding that that changes how I approach my day and how I experience it.
I love that so much, Heather. And I'll tell you, I'm not naturally a morning person. You're right. I have become one sort of as a force of habit, really have had to be. In fact, as I get up in the morning and I'm studying God's word, you mentioned our farm. One of the first things that I see every day as I'm reading God's word is my daughter Brell comes down already in her farm overalls, ready to go out and do the chores with the animals. So it's one of my favorite ways to start the day. But we're going to go to a break here in just a moment. But I love that you pulled out Psalm 5:3, especially talking about how much God it longs to hear our voice and how we can wait in eager anticipation. Because Heather, we're going to talk about your book that's rooted in Habakkuk, and I've also written about Habakkuk. To me, this was one of the most interesting things about Habakkuk is how evident it was that God was desperate to interact with him, even when he wasn't particularly deferential to God. He still longed for that time with him, and he longs for that time with us as well. So we're going to talk more about that. Folks, if you want to get a copy of Heather's book, we're giving away 4 copies today. It's called Amazed and Confused. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. It'll kick you back a form to fill out. Again, 877-933-2484. And we will be back with Heather Zimpel after this. Welcome back to Susie Larson Live. Fan Bennett sitting in for Susie this week, joined today by Heather Zimpel. She's the author of Amazed and Confused. She's also a member of the staff at National Community Church. And if you want to get a copy of her book, actually, we're giving 4 away. You can text book to 877-933-2484. Heather, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into your work and your ministry and talk about your book here in just a moment. But first, I wanted to kind of orient our listeners. For those who aren't familiar with you, haven't had a chance to interact with you, I want to orient them to what brought you to your current place of ministry. You and I actually share a similar early career path. You started out in public policy and in the political world. That's a world that, as you know, I've spent more than 20 years in now. And you know, I would say just by virtue of the fact that you do ministry now in D.C., you still kind of operate in this place where the policy world overlaps with faith and culture. And, you know, that's still my world, too, although I guess I would maybe describe it as we kind of face that overlap from different vantage points at this point. But just sort of given that backdrop, could you maybe give our listeners a bit of the story about how you came to move from politics to full-time ministry in the nation's capital?
Sure. It's a bit of a winding journey. My background academically is in biological engineering. At one point in my life, I thought, you know, I might take that to overseas, whether working in a missional capacity or not. And then I got this really amazing opportunity to come to DC and work for a U.S. senator using environmental background and science background to do policy work, and fell in love with the city, fell in love with the world of policy, and found myself at a little bit of a crossroads, not knowing whether I was called to do engineering or to do policy work. And it was kind of at that moment that I was asked to consider coming on staff at National Community Church. And that was just not, that wasn't in the equation. And I didn't even know that was a variable. So some people have awesome stories about being called into ministry, they'll have that road to Damascus experience or something like that. And sometimes I like to say I was tricked into ministry. Pastor Mark Batterson gave me, he just kept giving me opportunities and I kept showing up. And, you know, I got to a point where honestly, I was seeking the Lord on what's the next step? What are you calling me to do? I knew I was called to make disciples. I mean, in my gut, like I knew that's what I was called to do. And so then the question was just, in what sphere am I supposed to do that? Or from what, as you mentioned, vantage point, am I called to do that? And honestly, like I prayed, I fasted, I sought counsel. And at the end of the day, I looked at where I was at that season, feeling the most fulfilled, seeing the most fruit, and having the most fun, and jumped into full-time ministry. And as you said, our worlds overlap. The majority of people that attend our church are either actively involved in some way in the government process and different sectors of the political world, or they were at one point. And so there is a lot of overlap between really all of the experiences that God has brought me through over the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I really feel like our church is certainly interesting, but I think it's an incredibly unique opportunity because we have an opportunity to walk out some of the things that the church should be all about in one of the most difficult places. I mean, the partisan divide right now is obviously very significant, but I would say probably nowhere more so than in Washington, D.C. And so we've got an opportunity to kind of grow in that way. But, you know, maybe I would just dig a little bit deeper before we move on here. This is something, Heather, that I've talked about a lot, and it's really what my heart beats for these days, and that is trying to help the Church of Jesus Christ be the Church of Jesus Christ in this cultural moment, right? In all of the messiness, in all of the challenges that we face. And I guess I'd just be curious for your perspective on this. I mean, given the chaos, given the tumult, given the division, What's your heartbeat for Jesus followers in all of that? What do you think our role is as the church, as followers of Jesus, to play in the midst of all that division and strife and chaos? How should we be postured right now?
That's such a great question. And I think what we're seeing right now is a discipleship crisis. We have, as the church, and I say that, you know, very broadly and also personally, We haven't done a good job historically of raising up the next generation of Daniels and Esthers and Nehemiahs, people that are living basically in a place of exile and being lights to the culture around them. And so in terms of postures, what I'm trying to encourage right now, whether that's with my child, you know, or with people that I have the privilege of serving, one, we've got to be courageous people. We need a revival of courage in our midst. And again, I think about people like Daniel and Esther and Nehemiah, people that are willing to walk as followers of Jesus in the culture, even when that's not popular. I think we've got to have a posture of humility, realizing that we have a lot that we can learn and that we've got to be in a place where we're willing to learn from others and serve others. And then also, I think just being intensely curious. I think we're going to get a lot further in culture by asking good questions and seeking to understand. I think if there's a place where we should be able to experience some civil discourse, it's within the church. And I think that's a place where the church can actually lead the way in providing spaces and environments where we can agree to disagree, but love regardless. I think the most shocking thing Jesus told his followers is you have to love your neighbor, and your neighbor includes your enemy. And I'm convinced if and when Jesus' followers can do that well, it's going to have an impact on the culture.
That's so good. So spot on. And I love that you brought up courage, Heather. This is something that I've told this audience a few times before, but one of the passages that's been speaking to Brooke and I the most lately is out of 1 Chronicles 28, where King David, you know, he has this dream to build the temple, but God says, you don't get to do it. It's going to be your son. I need you to go charge him with doing it. And it's almost like a dream dies in him. But in this passage in chapter 28, he uses this phrase repeatedly when he's charging Solomon. He says, be strong and courageous and do the work. And I just love the picture of him not being territorial about the dream in front of him, realizing that part of his task was actually passing that on to the next generation. So I love that. Listen, we got a few minutes before we head to the break here. I do want to open a conversation about this great book of yours, Heather, and I need to probably start with a confession. Back in 2020, I released a book called My Fame, His Fame, and it's also rooted in the book of Habakkuk. But at the time, you said, well, you and I share a love of Habakkuk, but I didn't realize, Heather, that you beat me to the punch on this. you beat me to the punch on writing a book about Habakkuk. So I guess my confession to you is that I didn't get it read in a timely manner. I've read it now, and it's so good. And let me just start with a basic question. It's one of the questions I get asked a lot about my book, and it's why Habakkuk? I mean, I think maybe you and I are two of the biggest Habakkuk nerds on the planet now, since we've both written a book about it. But why his story? What drew you to it, and what's sort of compelling about it on a top line level?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I love your book on Habakkuk as well. And I'm just so excited that there's somebody else in the world that
two of us
is this world. And here's, I'll share with you something that a friend of mine told me. She said, you realize you spilled more ink on a book about Habakkuk than Habakkuk did himself. And I always thought that was funny. But grateful for your book as well. I think the impetus for me was twofold. One, I've always felt like as a lot of followers of Jesus, we approach the Bible like a yearbook. Like, what did you do when you got your yearbook in high school? You turned the pages looking for pictures of yourself and your friends, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we do the same thing with the Bible. We're just flipping through, looking for that nugget for the day, the thing that speaks to us, where we find ourselves. That's why we turn to the letters of Paul, we turn to the Psalms, because those writings resonate with us, they're relevant to us. But we don't find ourselves in the book of Leviticus often, because we don't see pictures of ourselves there. And so I've always had this desire to help people engage the parts of the Bible that might be unfamiliar or confusing to them. And then along with that, I had an NCC leader, a small group leader at our church, that confessed to me one time, Heather, you know, if I get seated next to Obadiah at the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'm going to have to say, I'm really sorry I never read your book. And so that really prompted in me a desire, again, to just help people get oriented, particularly to really the minor prophets, because that's one of the places that we tend to kind of shy away from. But when you really look at the minor prophets and their messages, they are so relevant to where we are today. They're speaking into a culture that is actually very similar to the one that we're in. They're speaking against injustice and immorality and idolatry. And I just think there are a lot of lessons to be learned there. And then Habakkuk just really jumped out, because I think we've all been in that place where we've wondered, why do our prayers go unanswered? Or at times, the answer we get isn't the one we're looking for. And it puts us in a place of conflict between what we believe to be true about God and what we're seeing in the circumstances around us. And so
that was the motivation of the book. Yeah, we're going to dig in more after this break. I totally agree with that. Heather, after this break, I'm going to ask you about the first four words of the book. First four words of the book, y'all, are God is not nice. So, Heather, be prepared to justify that statement after this break on Suzy Larson Live, talking to Heather Zempel, and we will be back with more in her book, Amazed and Confused, after this. Back to Suzy Larson Live. Fan Bennett sitting in for Suzy this week. I'm joined today by my friend Heather Zempel. We're talking about her book, Amazed and Confused. And Heather, I'm just going to jump right back in here. I'm looking at the very first four words of your book, top of the introduction. The first four words are, God is not nice. Nothing like jumping right off into the deep end. Nothing like a nice, soft open to sort of get readers to settle in. So what's that all about? Why do you say God is not nice?
Well, I think the bottom line is we need a more robust theology of the love of God. A lot of times we read God is love and we reduce that to God being just a really nice guy, a little bit bigger, better, nicer version than us, whether that is an image of a very elderly and doting grandfather who's doling out the candy, or a waiter, a server who's waiting on us, taking our order and bringing it to our table, or even a judge who is, you know, excusing a wrongdoing that we've done. I think a lot of times, a lot of our struggles, whether it's something we're reading in scripture that is really, really hard to understand, or even something in our own life, we become disillusioned because we feel like, well, that wasn't a very nice thing for God to do or to say. And if we're honest, we can search the scriptures, and I cannot find nice being one of the attributes ever mentioned about God. He is love, he is kind, he is long-suffering, he is patient, he is trustworthy, he's faithful. But nice is not one of the descriptors or modifiers that I see. And I think when we reduce God to being nice, we reduce an understanding of his fierce and just and self-sacrificing love.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. And there's a great juxtaposition in your writing here, though, because while you illustrate that God is not nice, you also get into this concept of confrontation and how God is open to some confrontation. I got to tell you, I think this is the portion of the story. We mentioned this a little bit, but probably the portion that grabbed me the most about Habakkuk. I related to his struggle with what was going on in his world. I was taken with the fact that he had a relationship with God that didn't require him to whitewash how he felt about it, right? He actually confronted God with it. He just laid it right out there. And I wasn't used to interacting with God that way. And so I was sort of wondering if that was okay to do. And, you know, my takeaway was that God didn't blink. I mean, he didn't lecture Habakkuk for the tone. Now, I will say a lot of God's response was a promise of great judgment. So it's not like it was all roses, right? It wasn't all pleasant.
Right.
But I did feel like, Heather, that God welcomed the confrontation. He welcomed the intense dialogue with Habakkuk. And I really think this goes back to what you started the conversation with today out of Psalms. It's that he so longed for genuine interaction with Habakkuk, and he does that with all of us. He can handle our honest intensity. So what do you think about that? God might not be nice, but I do think he welcomes some confrontation when that's necessary. What do you say?
Oh, absolutely. As every time I read the book, I'm struck by, as you mentioned, the word you use is the intensity of the relationship. That's when I think about just in my own human relationships. The people that I love the most and respect the most are the people that are willing to have difficult conversations with me. I know they're for me. I know they're with me, but they're willing to engage in that intensity. And maybe just to nerd out for a little bit, going back to my science background, if you want to get a wheel to turn, you've got to have friction. If there's a wheel in a frictionless environment, it will not turn. So I think just to have healthy progress in a relationship, there's got to be a little bit of conflict. There's got to be a little bit of tension. And if we can enter into that space with love, with honor, respect, and when it comes to that kind of conversation with God, with a high level of honor and worship, I do think God invites that. I think God invites that level of intensity because it's reflection of our trust in him. It's a reflection of faith, and it's a reflection of the love itself that we have for the Lord.
Well, and you mentioned friction, Heather. There's no escaping friction today. So that's there. So it's a good thing that God welcomes the conversations where that is present. Folks, listen to this. Heather writes, as Habakkuk embraced God's character, he was forced to wrestle with God's actions. And as he wrestled with God's actions, he embraced his character. And then, Heather, a little bit later, you get to this question that Habakkuk is asking. He asks, how long? How long? Mm-hmm. And I want you to talk to us about that wrestling, because I think all of us, I know I raised my hand, we can all relate to crying out with that question, how long? I want you to connect those dots. How does wrestling with God about that question move us closer to his character?
Yeah, absolutely. The two questions that Habakkuk asks kind of over and over again in the book are how long and why? And again, I think we can relate to both of those questions. And both of those questions also pop in scripture. As I mentioned earlier, I was reading the Psalms, and in the Psalms, there are questions about how long and why. And I think when we enter into places where we're wrestling with God, it forces us to listen more. It forces us to lean in a little bit closer. It forces that relationship to grow. And when we do that, we come to understandings of his character better. And again, a more robust understanding of those. Sometimes I think we're handed understandings of the character of God, especially when we're children. And those can often be two-dimensional. But as we grow and as we mature and as we grow in that relationship with him, our understanding of God's love, his like the hope that we have in Christ, his faithfulness, we just grow a lot more depth in our understanding of who he is and what he's about and what he requires of us. And so I think that wrestling with God leads us to deeper understandings of his character, and then furthermore helps us to reflect his character back into the world in a better way.
Yeah, I love that so much. I want to ask one more question about the book. I do want to have time to get to some of your role at NCC and also at the Dream Collective, which is a new initiative you're heading up. But I want to ask about one of the, I guess, maybe the signature proclamation of the book. It's Habakkuk 3:2. And, you know, Heather, there's an awful lot of proclaimed judgment in this book. And you actually work through that in a very detailed manner, a way that's very helpful to me. And I, you know, I think I probably took the easy road out, Heather. I wrote a lot about chapter 3, which includes, you know, this powerful proclamation that probably a lot of people know. It includes, you know, a vision about what Habakkuk believes about God on the other side of judgment. But here's what Habakkuk 3:2 says, just to remind listeners, this is where Habakkuk says, "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." And, you know, it's a pretty gripping proclamation given the cultural mess that was all around Habakkuk. But I think it applies to our time too, Heather. So what do you take from that statement and maybe anything else you want to add from chapter 3? What do you think it says about our times today?
Yeah, it's so good. I come back to this prayer over and over and over again. It's one that is a part of my, you know, regular prayers to God. The idea that of remembering what God has done in the past. And that can be what we know from his works and his ways in scripture. It can be looking back over church history. I'm also a church history nerd. I think the more we learn about our history as the people of God, the more we see God's faithfulness and God's glory. And also we're not doomed to repeat the same mistakes, but also just his fame in our own lives. We can lean on that and cry out to God, all right, do it again. I mean, just that statement, do it again, do it again, do it again, has become such a big part of my prayer vocabulary. And then also the idea of just in wrath, remember mercy. We see a God who, whenever we see the wrath of God on display in scripture, we see his mercy coming in at the same point. I think the most the first example of that is in the Garden of Eden, when we see the discovery of sin in the garden, and God's wrath is poured out on an animal to provide skins and coverings for Adam and Eve. His wrath or his mercy at work? I would argue that it was both at the same time. We see that again on the cross, God's wrath and God's mercy together in this glorious display of love. And so as we walk in our world today, I think as people of God, this prayer that we would cry out that his mercy would be put on full display in our world, and just reminding God, hey, God, you've done this in the past. Would you do it again in our day? That's part of what we do as representatives of Christ, as his ambassadors in the world today.
Amen and amen. I could not agree with you more. Do it again. I mean, that's one of the phrases that resonated to me as well. And Heather, I believe with every fiber of my being that his fame is ready to rush through the land. I think it's waiting for us to carry it. And it's just one of my most fervent prayers. Actually, in my reading this morning, I was in Isaiah 46 and verse 9 says, "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me." Love it. I love it. I love it. Do it again, yes. God. If you want a copy of Heather's book, it's called Amazed and Confused. We've been drawing from it for these last couple of segments. I want you to text the word book to 877-933-2484. Thanks to Heather's generosity, we've got four to give away today. So text book to 877-933-2484. Hopefully you'll win one of those. If you don't, I strongly encourage you to pick it up. Check it out. It's called Amazed and Confused by Heather Zimpel. Heather, I want to switch gears just a little bit here now. I want to talk a little bit about your role at NCC. And I've got actually maybe just sort of a practical and maybe almost business administration question for you first before we get into some of the initiatives that you're leading. This is one of the things as a member of the church that I've admired for a long time, okay? There's always a ton going on at NCC, right? And it could be very easy for it to just seem like chaos. And maybe it is from the inside, but it doesn't look that way from where I sit, okay? But it's clear to me, you're laughing. I won't tell Mark that sounds like it's chaos on the inside. I'm just going to say.
It's organized chaos. Perfect.
Organized chaos. It's clear to me, though, Heather, that it takes a bunch of different people with different giftings to pull that out. Mm. And that's what I want to ask about, because from my perspective, it looks like Pastor Mark is just off the charts on the visionary end of the spectrum. And he's so gifted at casting vision, sensing where God wants to take his people and the church, both on the staff level and all of us. And that's so critical, because without vision, the people perish. But then the other thing that I just so respect about what he's done is he's surrounded himself with people like you who execute the vision. And I'm not suggesting that people can't do both. Obviously, all of you do. You have to some extent. But I guess I'm curious about two things. Number one, where do you land on sort of that visionary implementer spectrum? And then for our listeners, we're all part of teams, right? Whether it's ministry or business or whatever it would may be. Talk to us a little about your experience from NCC and making sure that the right team members are in place for a given task.
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I'll say this too. I love in the book of Genesis when it tells us the Holy Spirit was hovering over the chaos of creation. We just invite the Holy Spirit to hover over the chaos. It's sometimes NCC. As you mentioned, Pastor Mark is a visionary. He's probably the most, I don't know, his vision, he can not only see the next hill, but several hills beyond that. I've never worked for a leader as visionary as he is. So he just oozes that. And then, on that spectrum, I thought I was a visionary until I started working with Pastor Mark. But I have the capacity for vision. But really, I think, and this is probably the engineer in me, coming alongside with the strategy and the invention to take what he sees and put feet to that, put wheels to it, put the structure and the architecture around it to make it happen. And then I think I'm also a team builder. I love teams. I love to identify gifts and passion in people and position them for the best value to the larger organization, and also how they'll be positioned to receive the greatest value and growth personally. And so, I try to look at things as I'm building out teams. I look at a few different things. One, obviously, spiritual gifts, making sure that we're well-rounded there, making sure that if we've got people who are high visionaries, we also have people with discernment and administration at the table. I also look at things like different personality, resources, whether that's looking at Myers-Briggs or Strength Finders, things like that, to make sure that we've got a good balance of people around the team. One thing that's been really helpful to me recently is something called Working Genius that Patrick Lencioni and that team have come up with. And on that spectrum, I'm what is called an inventor and a galvanizer. So again, the strategy to make the vision happen and then mobilizing the people to make that happen. And I would say everybody on our team, just, yes, they play a different role. And Pastor Mark has found some amazing talent, and I'm honored and privileged every day and humbled to get to work with the people that I get to work with. They're amazing.
Well, you're one of those amazing talents, and I know that he would say the same thing, and it's just fascinating for me to see it. You really do pull it off in a way that looks just seamless from the outside. But there's so much happening. I know it takes intentionality. Look, we're going to head to a break. We'll be back after this. Heather, I want to ask you when we come back about your teaching role at NCC. I also want to talk about the Dream Collective. I want to hear what that's all about. I want you to have a chance to describe it to our listeners. I'm talking to Heather Zimpel from National Community Church. We're drawing from her book, Amazed and Confused. We've got four copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484 to get an opportunity to win one of those. We'll be back with more with Heather Zimpel on Suzy Larson Live right after this. Do It Again, God. Great pick on the music, Kim. I love it. Do It Again, God. We've been talking about Habakkuk with Pastor Heather Zimpel, author of Amazed and Confused. And of course, that's the primary prayer of Habakkuk. Do it again, God, and do it in our day. Do it in our time. We don't want it to be down the road. We want it to start now, and we want to be the vessels by which you accomplish it. So do it again, God. I love it. Than Bennett sitting in for Suzy Larson today, talking with Pastor Heather Zimpel of National Community Church, the author of Amazed and Confused. We do have four copies of the book to give away. You can text book to 877-933-2484 to have a chance to win that. I got a couple things I want to get to in this segment, Heather. I want to start with your teaching role at National Community Church. I know this can be a tricky one at times, right? And I just want to say again, by way of encouragement, God's word through you has played an absolutely pivotal role in my life. I know my wife, Brooke, would say the same thing. And there is no doubt in my mind that you're walking in his call for you when you share his word. But what I want to ask you about actually is how has being a teacher of God's word shaped you? What gives you a passion for it? How has it impacted you? And then maybe underneath that, you talked about being a team builder. What does that look like to you to disciple and foster spiritual growth on teams at NCC?
Yeah, thanks for the question. And I appreciate that encouragement so much. Quick anecdote, when I was 6 years old, my sister and I used to play church. Most normal kids play house or school. We played church. We lined up our stuffed animals in little chairs in rows, and my sister led worship and I preached. And I think God was giving a little glimpse of something at a very early age. In terms of how it shaped me, I've grown as a student of the word. There's no way you can stand up and teach from the scriptures without growing in very, very deep places. And then along with that, growing in humility. It is such an honor and such a humbling thing to stand up in front of a group of people, whether that's in a small group setting or a few people in an accountability group or in a congregation, but to stand up and try to unpack and to dive into the text of scripture and help move people to a better understanding of, interpretation of, application of, is extremely humbling. I remember hearing, I believe it was Tim Keller one time, saying that the first 200 sermons you ever preach aren't very good. I think I'm still, I don't think I've hit 200 yet. So I'm still in that not very good place. And so it's just a place of humility and personal growth for me. I would say that two big goals I have when I teach, and again, this is whether it's a small group setting or a group of friends or when I have the privilege of being on a Sunday morning, it's first to make a run for the empty tomb. The empty, if we can get people to really the cross and the empty tomb, all bets are off. The impossible is now possible. There is life and life abundant available. And then I also feel like it's a win for me when I teach, if people actually walk away with more questions than answers, because I feel like as a communicator, my role is to prompt the right questions more than it is to download the right answers. I want people to go home and be so insatiably curious about something that they heard that they dive into the text for themselves. And so that's what I really love about, opportunities to be in a teaching role, is to spark that curiosity to lead people into greater depths of the scripture.
Well, you do it with such grace and humility. And I would just tell you, the thing I appreciate the most is you never water it down, Heather. I mean, you make it accessible, right? You make it so people can reach it, but you don't water it down. You don't apologize for it. And you mentioned running to the tomb. I want to ask you about Dream Collective, but I want to take that opportunity, because when you talk about seizing every opportunity to encourage people to run to the tomb, folks, if you're out there and you're listening to this and you don't know what that means, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this sits at the foundation. This is the cornerstone of my life. It sits at the cornerstone of Pastor Heather's life. And everything else that we've talked about today, it only falls into place if you have that peace. And it's freely offered to you. All you need to do is you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. We all are. You need to believe in Jesus Christ, and then you need to confess with your mouth that truth. And if you want help with that conversation, if you want help with next steps, we've got people that are ready to help you. I want you to text the word faith, F-A-I-T-H, to 41224. Again, text the word faith to 41224, and you will find someone who will be able to explain a little bit in greater depth what Heather means about always pointing to the tomb. We run to the tomb because we serve a risen Savior, and his name is Jesus. Heather, I've pushed us up to about 5 minutes before the end of our broadcast here, but I do want to spend a couple of minutes about talking about Dream Collective, because this is something I'm really excited about. It's right in line with what God has laid upon my heart, but I'd like you to describe it. What is the Dream Collective, and what are you trying to accomplish with it? What's the vision?
Yeah, well, I would say the vision is that we want to see revival in the church, reformation in the kingdom, and renaissance in culture. And for us at NCC, we realize we are just a piece of that puzzle. We believe in hashtag same team. We want to come alongside other churches that are preaching the gospel, people that are operating businesses' mission, that are operating in the place of kingdom economics. And so for us, I think it'll find expression at NCC through church planting, launching businesses' mission, raising up the next generation of discipled leaders for ministry and marketplace. For the past 25 years, National Community Church has launched locations, and we've started businesses like Ebenezer's Coffee House and Miracle Theater. And I would say we're at a place right now, and Pastor Mark would say this too, we want to do more things where we have less control and get less credit. We want to see more churches launched. We want to see more businesses launched. And we just want to come alongside dreamers and seed those dreams. We want to rally around them and give them a network of people. We want to give them a community of other dreamers. We want to resource the local church and business's mission. We want to reimagine what church and business can look like in our generation, in our culture. And we want to reproduce leaders at all levels of society. These are things that NCC's been involved with for the past 20 years, but Dream Collective will make it more intentional and strategic in how we come around others to help them launch the dreams that God has given them.
Revival, reformation, and renaissance. And I love that you said we're looking for less control and less credit, because Heather, if that happens, the sky is the limit on potential. Just real quickly here, where can people learn more? If they want to know more about the Dream Collective, where can they go to get more information?
Absolutely. You can check us out online at thedreamcollective.com. We're on Instagram at We Are Dream Collective and on Twitter at We Are Dream Co. And I'll just say this. We like to say that, like, we like to build planes in the air around here. So this is definitely a moment when we are building the plane in the air. We're in the very earliest stages of building this and dreaming this, but we're just excited about what God can do over the next 20 years when we don't care who has control and we don't care who gets credit.
That sounds like organized chaos. It sounds like less control. So it sounds like you're pulling it off to me. Pastor Heather, I'm so grateful for you for being with us today. I'm grateful for you, period, to be honest with you. Thank you for investing in me, for investing in our family, and in all of our Faith Radio listeners today. So we pray a blessing over you as you go. I look forward to what God's going to continue doing through Ryan and you. And thanks for being with us here today.
Thank you so much, Stan. We love you. We love your family. And again, it is such an honor and a privilege. What a joy it's been to be with you and your listeners today.
Folks, that's Heather Zimple. She's the author of Amazed and Confused. Again, four copies to give away. We'll leave the drawing open for a little bit here. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. If you don't win a copy, I encourage you to pick one up. It's called Amazed and Confused by Heather Zimple. I hope you found some encouragement here today. I love Pastor Heather so much, and I'm sure you do now too. Thanks for having me as a part of your day today. Thanks to Kim in the control room for all her help. Thanks to Angela as well. Susie's going to be back with us next week. Certainly looking forward to having her back. But I'm so thrilled to be with you each day this week for this hour. And I will talk to you again tomorrow on Susie Larson Live.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.